From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. More than 215 million gallons of radioactive water entered the Floridan aquifer when a sinkhole opened up at the Mosaic Company's phosphate plant in Polk County. As Mosaic works to recover the contaminated water, the company and Florida's Department of Environmental Protection have faced criticism for not disclosing the incident to the public for nearly 3 weeks. The spill comes as Mosaic seeks to expand its Manatee County mines and open a new 1,800-acre mine in DeSoto County. The latest on response to the sinkhole and how Florida regulates phosphate mines and their radioactive phosphogypsum waste. Plus, a new genomic research center opens its doors this month in Fort Myers. Their goal? To reduce the lag time between the latest advances and applying them in the doctor's office for everything from fighting cancer to improving how doctors prescribe medicine. First, this news. This is Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Genome research is revolutionizing medicine, and a new nonprofit research center opening this month in Fort Myers is bringing the technology to Southwest Florida. More on the promise of genome research and how it could transform medicine coming up later this hour. But first, on August 27th, phosphate mining company Mosaic reported a 40-foot-wide sinkhole swallowing more than 215 gallons of radioactive wastewater at its New Wales facility in Polk County. The company reported the water went into the Floridan aquifer, which covers the entire state and provides some 10 million people with drinking water. Mosaic says the tainted water was stored in a retention pond above one of the mine's massive gypsum stacks, which are acres-long piles of waste left over from the company's phosphorus processing. That waste is radioactive due to concentrations of naturally occurring uranium, radium, and thorium found in the raw phosphate ore. Mosaic officials say they alerted state and federal environmental officials the day they learned of the spill, but the public wasn't made aware of the spill until nearly 3 weeks later. Since that time, State Department of Environmental Protection officials and the Federal Environmental Protection Agency have been on site for regular monitoring of the spill. Mosaic has drilled two recovery wells, at least one of which is 750 feet in depth and is pumping roughly 3,500 gallons of water from the hole every minute. Originally estimated to be 300 feet deep, one Mosaic official told reporters Tuesday that the sinkhole could be as deep as 750 feet, roughly the depth of the Floridan aquifer at the site. The company now disputes that number, but Mosaic officials told reporters this week they do not know just how deep the hole actually is. Mosaic has agreed to provide 600 residents with bottled water as the company tests their wells for contaminants. Several residents relying on well water have now filed a lawsuit against the company. The fallout from the spill caused Governor Rick Scott to order an immediate change to how the state handles public notification for pollution spills. The governor flew over the sinkhole Tuesday. Both Mosaic and the Florida Department of Environmental Protection declined to join our show today. Both groups say testing confirms the contaminated water has not migrated from the area of the spill. Joining us to talk about this issue today and the larger issue of phosphate mining in Florida is Bob Nevin, a longtime environmental advocate and member of, among other groups, the People for Protecting Peace River Incorporated. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you very much.
Also joining us by phone is Sarah Hollenhorst, the director of People for Protecting Peace River. Thanks for joining us, Sarah.
Thank you.
And also with us by phone is a classaction.com attorney, John Yanchunas, with the law firm Morgan & Morgan. He's representing some of the plaintiffs who have brought the class action lawsuit against Mosaic related to the incident. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you for inviting me.
And also with us in studio is hydrologist Jason Bellino with the U.S. Geological Survey to give us an overview of the Floridan aquifer and how it could be impacted from spills like this. Jason, welcome to the program.
Hi, John. Thank you for inviting me.
And I invite listeners to connect with our guests with your comments and questions. Phone lines are open at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. Post on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media, or join the live Twitter chat using hashtag Gulf Coast Live. And Bob, let's start with you. You've been an active member of several groups in Southwest Florida committed to protecting watersheds and other causes. And you've had firsthand experience with Mosaic when you lived in DeSoto County as a member of the Citizens Advisory Panel with the company. You say Mosaic's mines have transformed parts of the state, in part because of the mountains of phosphogypsum waste from the production of the company's fertilizer. Tell us what you've seen around Mosaic mines and your concerns about the so-called gypsum stacks left over at their facilities.
Well, let me come back to the gypsum stacks, but it's the mine itself. The mine itself disturbs natural land. I mean, the land that has been there and supported work and jobs for ranching and agriculture for years and years. They mine it, and what they do is they strip off – it's a strip mine, and they strip off the land, and they take away – it's about a third that's removed. A third is phosphate rock, which goes to the – everything eventually goes to the fertilizer plant. We'll get to that in 1 second. But phosphate rock, a third sand, and a third clay. Goes to the separation plant, and it gets separated into the three pots. Sand goes and gets stored to be going back into the mine cuts, and phosphate goes off to the fertilizer plant where it's going to be converted into fertilizer, and the byproduct of that is phosphorus gypsum, which gets stacked up for a ton of fertilizer. You get 4 tons of hazardous waste, and then the clay gets slurried and put back into clay settling areas. So now the land that they have mined is clay settling areas, which are solid clay plugs in the ground, which don't completely – the hydrology is gone anyway. It doesn't matter because now it's completely blocked off. Then you have the sand going back in, and if you think about it, there's something missing here. There's the phosphate, the third phosphate. So now it's a Ponzi scheme. They're short product to put into back into the ground to fill it up, so they have to leave it in these – acidic ponds that they call lakes. I've never seen a square or rectangle lake, but that's what they leave it as. And it's not a healthy industry. They say it's a temporary industry. It's not. It's a permanent. I don't know where they got this temporary word from. Their temporary is the use of the land, but once they leave, they claim to reclaim. Reclaiming the land is not restitution in any stretch of the word. So it's not. And then they go off. The other bad part about it is the phosphate plant, the development of the fertilizer. They say it's necessary. They say they feed the world. They don't feed the world. They don't feed anybody. They produce fertilizer. Saying they feed the world is like BP saying that they feed the world. BP makes diesel fuel, and without the diesel fuel, the farmers couldn't run the tractors, so they help feed the world, same as Mosaic. So they're a misleading. They don't want you to see what they do. They berm everything so people cannot see what they do. And that's a snapshot of where I can go from here. I don't want
to. Jason, I just wanted to turn to you as our, a hydrology expert here. You know, as we mentioned, the spill saw some 215 million gallons of wastewater poured into the aquifer. First of all, just tell us a little bit about the Florida aquifer. I understand this is one of the largest productive aquifers on the planet.
Yeah, the Florida aquifer system is, like you mentioned already, it's the source of drinking water for about 10 million people. It spans an area of about 100,000 square miles in the southeastern United States. It underlies the entire state of Florida, also underneath Alabama, South Georgia, and a little bit of South Carolina. Just for a little bit of context, in 2000, mm-hmm. We pumped roughly 4 billion gallons per day of water from the Florida aquifer system across the entire system. And that was the fifth largest withdrawal in the nation of the principal aquifers that the USGS, the United States Geological Survey, studied.
How does an aquifer of this size, handle something like, 215 million gallons of contaminated water? I mean, is that likely to stay isolated to a particular area, or would you be concerned about that traveling elsewhere?
Yeah. It's all dependent upon the geology of the aquifer. You know, our aquifer is relatively unique. It's very highly productive, as we've just alluded to. You can pump quite a bit of water from it without mining that water. So, in other words, when you pump water, you have a relatively small aerial impact in terms of, where that water is coming from. And we don't see the water level declines that we've seen in other parts of the country. For example, in the High Plains Aquifer, sometimes called the Ogallala in the Midwest, or the Central Valley Aquifer in California, where they've seen lots of, large decreases in water levels in those aquifers.
And how quickly does water, travel or flow through the aquifer? Or again, does that depend on, I guess, where you are specifically?
Yeah, it depends on the geology again. The Florida aquifer system is basically it's composed of limestone. Mm-hmm. And rainwater naturally is acidic. You've got carbon dioxide that's dissolved in the water. It's slightly acidic, and it will dissolve the limestone. So over time, you end up with these preferential flow paths through the aquifer. You've got both vertical and horizontal, essentially conduits for water to flow through. The rock itself is porous. Mm-hmm. If you dump water on a chunk of limestone, it'll suck up some of that water. But most of the water is flowing through these fractures, and so it's the size and number of these fractures that will in some part determine how fast water moves through the system, but also the slope of the water table. So if you think about a ball rolling down a hill, if you have a steep hill, the ball is going to roll a lot faster than mm-hmm. if you have a less steep hill. So it's very dependent upon location and geology.
Okay. And this sinkhole in Polk County was estimated about 300 feet. Now Mosaic says it doesn't really know how deep the hole is. Would it make a difference between a 300-foot deep hole, rather, versus one that's more than 700 feet into the aquifer? Or again, it all depends on where you are.
Yeah. I don't want to get into too many specifics of that particular location. If your 700-foot hole intersects more fractures than your 300-foot hole, then I would say you probably will have more avenues for that water to disperse into the rest of the aquifer system.
And when it comes to these, I guess, underground structures, for lack of a better word, that, sort of the limestone substrate creates, is that well mapped out or understood?
No. And that's a part of groundwater hydrology. There's a lot of uncertainty in it. In North Florida, the Wakulla Springs system actually has been mapped out because those fractures are actually big enough for people to scuba dive through.
Right.
And they'll go down and map those things out. But in most of the state, we just don't have that information. You can drill wells and, at a single point, you can say, okay, there's, fracture zones between, 300 and 400 feet here. And then again, at some other interval, perhaps.
Okay. All right. And, Sarah, as director for People for Peace, the Peace River Organization, you have members who live in Hardy, Manatee, Charlotte, and DeSoto counties. This particular spill we're talking about in Polk County, as Jason explained, water in the Florida aquifer is being drawn on by residents in the surrounding counties. What are you hearing from your members? Or what are their concerns and what actions are they taking?
Just a brief correction there, Matthew. I'm on the board of directors. Dennis Nader and Mr. Armstrong have been directing the people protecting the Peace River. And people are just horrified at what's going on. They don't know what to do. They're gathering together, discussing, what to do. Because what we understand, as far as we understand the aquifer goes, this pumping out of contaminated water really is for show, because the water most likely, especially now finding out how deep it's gone, has just spread out through the area. In studies of phosphate mining wells downstream, these are just those shallow wells, they've found high concentrations of heavy metals in the past, lead, cadmium, zinc, nickel, elevated levels of lead, manganese, mercury, and so all of that is people have complained about well contamination as it is, but who's testing the wells? people who represent Mosaic. So there's no trust involved at all in people who live around the surrounding areas. Of course, there's people who live in Hardy County who work for Mosaic, and as loyal employees, they aren't going to complain. But other residents are horrified.
Sarah, are you hearing from folks who are, you know, maybe additionally concerned just by, you know, the fact that nearly 3 weeks went by before, you know, information was released to the public about this? What was going on during that time frame?
Absolutely. We think that they were gathering forces trying to figure out what to do about it. As far as the DEP goes, they are appointees by Rick Scott, and anyone who's ever said anything against Mosaic with the DEP has been fired. And I've gotten that directly from former employees of DEP. So there's no trust involved in the first place with either the DEP or with Mosaic. And from our perspective, they were trying to figure out what to do before putting it out in the public and actually hoping that it wasn't heavily publicized. And I want to remind the listening public that this is just the tip of the iceberg. A year ago, there was fines levied on Mosaic, and they finally agreed to a settlement of, I believe it was $2 billion because of improper storage in Bartow, New Wales, Mulberry, Riverview, South Pierce, Green Bay, and two sites in Louisiana. And in 2009, White Springs put 90 million gallons of hazardous waste into the aquifer. So this is just the tip of accidents and improper storage as far as Mosaic dipsticks goes. And I'm in communication with a lady who's representing Riverview as a person who lives there. And there's numerous communities. There's Progress Village, her own village, that have lived near Riverview stack and are feeling health effects from what they say are leaking stacks.
Is that anything that can be verified, or is that just what they believe is going on? What kind of health effects?
We've had hydrologists go out there and look at it, and they say, yes, it's leaking, and it's improperly managed in the first place. It was engineered improperly. They said the stack in Riverview is sitting on a creek, leaking into the creek. I haven't gone out there myself, but other people who have gone out there can see the area around it is apparently leaking. Mm-hmm. So this is just the tip of the iceberg beyond the environmental devastation that the mines are causing themselves.
And Attorney John Yanchunas, you're representing clients who live near Mosaic's facility in New Wales and Polk County. Do you know about how close these residences are to the site of the phosphate plant?
As close as a mile and a half.
Okay.
And the one further part, 2 miles.
And just tell us a little bit about the general situation of these plaintiffs. I mean, are these folks who are reliant on, you know, wells for potable water?
Totally. Not only for themselves, but also for the animals that they raise and the other agricultural activities that they operate on their land. So the distribution of bottled water by Mosaic isn't going to do much for their farm animals nor their crops.
So what are they doing in the meantime, just using the water that they have available from the wells and hoping for the best?
They're trucking in water.
Trucking in water. And, you know, what kind of, water quality monitoring has Mosaic or the Department of Environmental Protection offered to your clients? Is that something that's taking place now?
Yeah, Mosaic has offered to residents, you know, the ability of monitoring their well water, and each of my clients who are class representatives in this class action are, you know, taking Mosaic up on that. Obviously, in discovery, we're going to be looking at the independence of the testing facilities as well as the company employed by Mosaic. Obviously, we're very concerned. We're now engaging our own testing expert to look at, you know, the same well water. And unfortunately, it's going to have to be a monitoring process for months, if not years, to come as the contamination spreads throughout the aquifer.
And about how many people do you currently have listed as plaintiffs in this suit, and do you expect that number to grow?
So a class action can be initiated with a single individual or sometimes several. We've been contacted by well over 100 people who are interested in joining the lawsuit. The case does see class action status, which would affect and include all residences of the surrounding areas who have well water or draw from the water from the ground and not from municipal sources. Hmm. Obviously, we are interested in talking to everyone because we want to know how it may have affected them.
Right, and I'd imagine you're asking for some sort of monetary damages, but are there other things that clients are looking for to see as a result of this suit?
Certainly. Well, most importantly, we're seeking judicial oversight in the process of the cleanup, as well as ongoing monitoring efforts. This company has a history of failing to maintain the environment and have any number of spills. One of the other panelists just mentioned $2 billion it paid last year. It is under an EPA consent decree. And as we know from this recent spillage and contamination of 215 million gallons in the aquifer, the company can't be trusted to monitor itself. So we're going to have appointed an independent oversight process, as well as continued monitoring both of well water as well as the medical conditions of the individuals who have drank from the water sources that have now been contaminated.
All right. You're listening to Gulf Coast Live on WGCU. Our topic, phosphate mining in Florida and the impact of the more than 200 million gallons of wastewater dumped in the Florida aquifer last month at the Mosaic facility in Polk County when a sinkhole opened up there. Join the show and share your thoughts. Ask our guests questions that you have on this issue. Call 1-877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. Or reach out on social media. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, find us at WGCU and tweet using the hashtag Gulf Coast Live. And Bob and Sarah, you know, this spill comes as Mosaic is preparing to expand its phosphate mining projects in Florida. The company wants to extend its Manatee County mine by 4,000 acres, and it has been trying to open up a new 18,000-acre mine in DeSoto County. I think earlier we had said that was 1,800, so wanted to make that correction there. In your experience with county commissioners, will a spill give them pause when considering Mosaic's applications?
Bob? One would hope so. One would hope that the commissioners have the mindset of protecting us and protecting the county rather than protecting Mosaic, and that unfortunately has happened in the past. We've talked to county commissioners one at a time, individually, because I can't talk together, obviously.
Right.
But the consensus is, listen, get over it. It's a done deal. You don't want get out. That's unfortunate.
That is the impression I get.
It's a done deal. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. And you know, they're not good neighbors. They're terrible. You can't live next to them. It's the sound day and night of the sound level, the light level, the radon and radioactive activity that is released, and it's a cumulative effect. I hear this word thrown around constantly. Well, the spill is only slightly radioactive. Well, I'd like someone to define slightly for me. Slightly radioactive, radioactivity is a cumulative effect. There's a reason why when you get a tooth x-ray, the nurse leaves the place where you get an x-ray because it's cumulative, and I don't want that in my drinking water. I don't want that water that's in the aquifer now irrigating orange fields that I'm going to buy. I don't want to buy those oranges. I don't want to buy those tomatoes. I don't want to buy the row crops that are going to be irrigated with this slightly radioactive material water. It's not healthy.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, in fact, extensive studies have shown that there's a 50% increase in lung cancer at the rate that EPA set, which they raised in order to accommodate the phosphate mines. This is supported by other studies, and WHO's International Agency for Research on Cancer is rejecting any refuting studies on that. So there's definitely a connection, and the radon attaches itself to, they're called daughters of the radon. They attach themselves to dust particles and water particles. They can become airborne. They found that people will breathe this then, and it'll increase their chances of lung cancer greatly. And as far as our county goes, we're in the middle of elections, and Mosaic is passing money around, different grants and so on. They gave, what, I think something like a $3 million grant for the Rodeo Association. One of the commissioners was very involved with the Rodeo Association, and the Rodeo Association is a big deal to the ranches and so on in our county, which make up a good percentage of our population, plus donations in every organization you can imagine, small donations by Mosaic, so 4-H and so on, so that we just feel they've bought the county.
Let's take a call from Maury, who grew up in Southwest Florida. Maury, welcome to Gulf Coast Live. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. It's pronounced Maury.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
I wanted to chime in. I'm very familiar with the Horse Creek. In 1974, I did a school assignment and photographed the Horse Creek, and I've had access to the creek since then, so up to 2000. And in all those years, the creek changes, you know, depending on flood, drought. So it's constantly moving. So number one, Mosaic setback. I don't know how you can define that, you know. And also, I did write letters to Mark Peterson with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and also John Fellows. I sent him photographs of Arcadia Avenue and Pine Level Road being flooded. And that is going to be a high traffic area for Mosaic. And the fact that Mosaic will be diluting their carcinogen, I don't care, I mean, a little much personally, they're going to be diluting their carcinogen into the Horse Creek. And unfortunately, Hidden Acres and Royal Park Estate is just downstream. And this has been developed in a floodplain. So there's going to be a possibility of contamination to their water. June 23rd, 2003, there was a 100-year flood event. And, I mean, everybody's well was underwater. And Mark Peterson also has photographs of water being up to the stop sign on Armadillo Road. So my point is, even though the mining rights sold, you know, back in the 60s, actually it was my granddad who sold it. I might have done it back then, too, thinking, well, you know, there's nobody out here, cows, melons, you know, nothing. You know, and plus research, who cared? Everybody was busy working back then, you know. Not very many environmental stewards. But now it's different. It's 2016. There's a population there. There's even the church there, the Pine Level Methodist Church. They are too close. Just like, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name. Was it Sarah?
She had yes, it is.
Sarah, just like what Sarah had mentioned about air particles, from what I understand, they're only going to be about their setback. It's maybe 200 yards from the church itself. And there's no way that they can, I mean, if there's a wind, you know, contain that from that coming onto the churchyard. And also, August 13th, 2004, Charlie ripped right through Pine Level. Who's to say that's not going to happen again? And how can Mosaic, how can the Army Corps, how can DEP, how can Governor Scott guarantee that that's not going to happen again? How can they protect, you know, our safety, and especially with the sinkhole that just happened?
Well, I do appreciate the call and the comment, and we are about out of time, unfortunately, so we are going to have to leave it there. But I first of all want to thank my guest, Jason Bellino with the U.S. Geological Survey, Bob Nevin and Sarah Hollenwurst with People for Protecting Peace River Incorporated, and Morgan & Morgan attorney John Yanchunis. Excuse me. Thanks all for joining us today and for discussing these issues surrounding phosphate mining in Florida and the Polk County spill at Mosaic's facility. You can find the latest updates on this developing story right here on WGCU's daily newscast and online at WGCUnews.org. We're taking a short break, but when we return, research into the human genome has led to cutting-edge developments in medicine. Now, a new research institute in Fort Myers is partnering with local healthcare providers to bring advances in genome research to healthcare across Southwest Florida. That conversation is just ahead on Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us. You're listening to WGCU NPR for Southwest Florida.